Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Markowitz. We are your hosts for the weekend edition, also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. On this weekend show, we're kicking off with Dana Lyons. We're going to follow up Dana's commentary with a few more, let's say, macro comments on what the main drivers are. Again, a lot related to the Fed and this general tightening process, but also dealing a lot with what bear markets, how they play out. Dana, last time we had you on the show, about 2 weeks ago, you mentioned that you were starting to position for a bit of a dead cat bounce or bear market rally because of how much the markets had sold off. We have gotten a bit of a rally here for the markets. Again, nowhere near going back to their highs. But I wanted to ask you, what are you positioning in for these types of bounces, considering, look, it most likely just needs to be a short-term trade, but what do you think can move the best during these short periods?
Yeah, that's right. It's interesting, as you mentioned, during like the meat of a bear market, the correlations all, you know, everything go, the correlations go to one pretty much. Nothing, the relative strength, relative weakness kind of falls by the wayside. Everything gets dumped. Nothing, like the defensive sectors that had held up very well, staples, utilities, everything starts getting pretty much dumped when you have that those big waves of selling pressure, usually at the end of a short-term, you know, downswell, which I think we got in the middle of the month around the last time that we spoke. So it was a combination of things that had us at least turning short-term bullish. One was significant price levels, price support levels, especially based on Fibonacci, and many of the indices were getting reached or tested at that point, especially in some of the broad averages like the Value Line Geometric, the Russell 3000, even the S&P 500 in the low 3800 range we were looking for. So you had some price levels being tested that we thought would at least provide some short-term support. You also had some washout type readings and sentiment. We didn't get necessarily the short-term spikes in fear that we often see at that major bottoms, but we had some longer-term type sentiment readings that were consistently very negative that persisted for several weeks. So that was the washed-out sentiment was another reason. And thirdly, we had some internal, some breath readings that did certainly reach some washed out levels. I think the last time we spoke a couple weeks ago, I was mentioning that the NASDAQ, if we had a really bad day, the NASDAQ new lows might set a new record. Well, they didn't set a record, but we saw, I think it was on that May 12th day, we saw, I think it was the third most new lows on the NASDAQ in history, only behind the crash of 87 and then one day during the COVID crash. So you had a number of factors lining up for a decent bear market bounce, short-term, intermediate-term rally, whatever it's going to be. But we did cover almost all of our shorts and started buying some really some index-type positions at those lows looking for a bounce.
Well, Dana, I think you've called these markets very well, really, over the last couple of years. But last year, at the end of the year, you were looking at those breath readings and saying, hey, there's a lot of weakness under the surface. It wouldn't surprise you if you saw some of the hot sectors like the growth sector sell off. And that's exactly what we saw. And really, there was a big rotation from growth to value over the last 6 months, let's say. And a lot of those have just completely tanked. They're down 40, 60%. Some stocks even down 70, 80% individually. Same thing with those reopening stocks and some of the stay-at-home stocks. But when you're playing this bounce, you said you're looking at the indexes for now. Are there any other sectors that you like just as an individual sector? I know you were a little more constructive on some of the other value sectors like consumer staples and utilities, but those have actually gotten hit recently. So is there any sector that you think is safe to go long at this point?
For a trade, yes, almost any of the sectors, really. And the beaten down stuff during a bear market rally are going to obviously bounce the most. So something like tech and consumer discretionary will see the biggest bounces. But the stuff that we like to play in a technical bear market bounce are tickers and indices that are testing really clear levels of support, clusters of key support levels on our chart. So if we're getting a lot of clarity in the price levels on a certain chart and we're testing those, then we're confident going into pretty much anything if the price levels are clear, whether it bounces, whether it outperforms on the upside or underperforms a little bit, we don't care as long as we have clarity that we are at solid price support and are bouncing. Two examples that we bought a couple weeks ago and then last Friday again on a retest would be the IWV and IWB. That's the Russell 1000 and the Russell 3000. So a large cap index and a very broad market index, both tested really clear clusters of Fibonacci support that suggested, you know, at least a temporary reprieve in the selling or maybe even a decent intermediate term bounce. So those are a couple of charts that were clear enough that we felt rather than trying to pick some relative strength sectors when everything is selling off, we thought the charts are clear enough that we'll just pile into a lot of those few positions and play for that bounce. Because, like I said, when you're in the meat of the bear market, like you mentioned, the last few weeks, they took apart this consumer staples and the utilities, which had held up very well. Those broke down as well. So it's hard to rely on relative strength sometimes when you have those the major severe bouts of selling pressure within the bear market. I guess the only sector that has been more or less immune to that has been energy. So we have a decent allocation of energy and holding on to those positions right now as they actually hitting 52-week highs, several of those positions. So I guess that's the only sector that's really been, you know, like I said, immune to the selling pressure.
How are you playing the energy sector then, Dana? Because you're right, energy has still done pretty well. Oil is off some of its highs, but what vehicles do you use to trade energy right now?
You know, we use all ETFs, so we are long the USO, playing the oil itself, but more so in the energy equities. So a couple ticker symbols, obviously XLE, we are long XOP. We're looking at FXN is another energy ETF, and so there are a number of them. Most of them are trading similarly, but I think right now XOP's got a chance. If we can break out above current levels, that might give you a little bit more juice here in the short term.
What about the rest of the commodity sector? They were doing pretty good for a while. A lot of the individual ETFs, whether it was the grains or the metals, a lot of them have pulled back some now. Some of that was based on the Ukraine narrative, but just technically, are there any commodities that you're liking the setup here?
Yeah, to us, it's still everything pretty much in commodity land is just consolidating those big run-ups they had earlier in the year, you know, including oil, including the grains. Metals also, we've seen some more weakness than we wanted to see in the metals of late. But for the most part, across the commodity gamut, I think we're just seeing some consolidation of those rallies that we saw early in the year. And we haven't seen any material breakdowns or anything like that. So we're still long a lot of that space and waiting it out a little bit until the next wave up, which we think will come. We think these moves are more or less, you know, continuation patterns where they're just storing up some fuel for the next leg up. Until we see, you know, like I said, definitive breakdowns, we'll stay long, you know, the grains, energy complex, and even some of the metals.
So, Dana, are you worried at all that the commodities do get pulled down if there is that next sell-off within the markets?
We'll make the necessary adjustments if that does happen. They held up very well in the most recent selling pressure. So, to us, commodities in general are still in a bull market. Until prices and the evidence changes, we're going to treat it as such. So, there's been kind of a dichotomy between them and some of the commodity equities. I think we talked about last time. The commodity equities were holding up pretty well for the first couple months of this correction on the back of the strong commodities. But once you got into that, some of the more severe stock market selling pressure, they can't, the equities, even if they're commodity resource related equities, they can't hide the fact that they're still equities. So they end up bringing those down too. So I think those have suffered more so than the commodities of late, just because they obviously they are stocks, so they're going to get dragged down with the rest of them, especially if they're tied to, you know, indices, which in which, you know, everything's going to get sold off in those cases. So I think that's probably the root of their relative weakness versus the commodities themselves.
Yeah, good points, Dana, because we've seen a lot of the metals and even the energy components hold up very well, but not necessarily all the equities, which did get hit pretty hard, especially some of the metal stocks. What about the cryptoverse in the crypto land? I know you had mentioned in our last interview you were considering going long because you thought things had pulled back enough to a support level that looked attractive. What's your take on Bitcoin or Ethereum at these levels?
Yeah, we started, but I guess it was like maybe 2 or 3 months ago, we got rid of all of our crypto exposure because we thought there was a good chance that we visit around that 28,000-29,000 level in Bitcoin and in Ethereum around that 1,700 to 1,900 level. So we saw that last time we spoke. I think we're testing that a couple of weeks ago, that level. So we did start buying some exposure back into Bitcoin and Ethereum at that point, testing that area again here late in the week now. So we are long looking for a bottom of at least short-term bounce. And it might be something a more substantial, more durable, longer term bottom here. So right now we are long. We don't put a ton of exposure, ton of allocation in our client portfolios towards cryptos. But again, given the volatility, given the beta in those instruments, you don't need a big allocation to see some of the benefits if we do get that rally.
Yeah, fair enough, Dana. Those cryptos, boy, oh boy, can they move. I also want to talk about the tech sector because the NASDAQ has been one of the more volatile of the broad averages, and it has been under quite a bit of pressure. We've seen some fairly weak earnings come out of some of the major tech companies. Snap was this week, I believe, that had some weak earnings. Do you see tech as losing kind of the market lead? Tech seemed to lead markets much higher over the last decade. Is it losing that luster?
Well, definitely over the intermediate to longer term scheme of things, tech is definitely a laggard now. So I don't see it until the evidence shows us on the charts and the price action that that's going to resume its leadership. You have to assume that the leadership is dead for probably a long time. That's one mistake that investors make a lot is once a cycle ends, they hold on to that the former leadership too long, expecting them to resume the leadership, which once those longer term cycles end, it takes a long time for those sectors to come back and resume their leadership. So probably specifically because of that fact that there's probably way over owned, too many investors, too much of money tied up in there. It means too many potential sellers remaining in the market for those to get any traction. So I don't expect like tech and growth and discretionary to lead the market higher for anytime soon. If that changes and the evidence changes, then we're happy to change with it. But at this point, they're probably going to be relative laggards for the foreseeable future.
Well, Dana, that's a great point. We saw that in the dot-com bubble that a lot of the prior leaders never came back to leadership positions. Some of the companies completely went out of business. In fact, a lot of them did. And then it took a long time for some of the household names we have today to claw their way back higher. What about on the short side? When we see this bounce, this relief rally, what will you be looking for to shift from a long, you know, shorter-term trade in the markets and indexes to more of a hedging strategy where you put your shorts back on?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll be looking for any sort of weakening in the internals, any divergence in the internals. We'll be looking for, obviously, you know, specific like definitive price resistance on the charts, and specifically looking at those laggards that we're talking about that are now leading to the downside or have led to the downside for most of the year. So looking at the growth names at tech, at the NASDAQ, at consumer discretionary, those types of names, they might not have as much downside beta as they did in that first initial wave. But those are the relative laggards right now. So I would continue to key on those after whatever rally we have here runs its course. Those would be the areas of the market I would be focused on for reshorting and playing probably more aggressively to the downside for the next wave down.
So, Dana, real quick, let's talk about the bond market, because rates broadly have peaked. The 10-year is down to about 2.7% and change. That's off of a little over 3% that it was. I realize interest rates are still very low, but they do seem to be on this uptrend. We have seen kind of the broad pullback in interest rates where money have flown into bonds. Where do you see bonds going from here?
Well, as you know, we've talked about it a lot. We think that the long cycle in interest rates, the 60-year cycle, approximately 60-year cycle, has bottomed in interest rates, which means prices have topped. And interest rates, if hundreds of years of the cycle is correct, then we're probably headed higher in interest rates for many years or decades to come. We did cover a lot of shorts in the bond market, but we'll be looking at levels on the downside to add that exposure, that short exposure back once we get to there. Like I said, we do think that yields are going up for a long time to come. It won't be a straight line, but a couple, if you're looking at the 10-year specifically, a couple levels we'll be have our eye on are about 250, and then back down around 210 would be some levels we'll probably be looking at adding some short exposure back on pretty aggressively.
All right, Dana, great chatting with you as always, buddy. Thank you so much for going through a number of different sectors, how you are playing those, and still sounds like we are, let's say, in the middle of this bear market, but rallies come in the middle of these markets, and that's what we're seeing right now. Who knows how strong this rally is going to be, but I don't know. There's just so much negativity out there. It's such a different world for the financial markets. Dana, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks, Corey.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.